The Texans signed a large human who will be the cause of Deshaun Watson's protection from henceforth. They just signed a former tight end, actually. His name is Danielle Fells, guys. Oh, look at this guy. Darren Fells. Yeah. Excuse me. Darnold Fells. D'Antonio Fells.
It's not even a weird spelling of Darren or anything.
D'Angelo Fells.
It's like Daniel Manning, where you're kind of like, do I call this big man Danielle? I don't want to.
In Paul's defense, his brother is Daniel Fells, and he too played in the NFL. But Darren Fells is the one that we have in Houston now.
Listen, we read the headlines. We don't read them well. We don't type them out well either.
Darren Fells is a 270-pound mountain of a man who's a pretty good blocker. He's not an incredible, awesome, stupendous blocker like Gronkowski or somebody, but he's better than the blockers you have on the squad right now, which the Texans need.
Seth, how much were they affected this past season by losing the blocking of Fedorowicz from the previous year?
It was a factor because they, especially without a fullback, because the Texans never used Jay Prosh all that well. I mean, and that was Jay Prosh's fault largely. But they tried to use their tight ends as a quasi fullback, and it wasn't that good. There was a whole lot last year of tight ends running into people and stopping. Like, just kind of like, it looked like they run into brick walls, and it's hard to open holes up that way. So you'd hope that Fells can move people a little bit.
Who was the most annoying blocking tight end, Seth, from your time in the league? Did you ever have to deal with blocking tight ends?
Mark Bruner, who I ended up...
Steelers?
Let me tell you about, okay, so Mark Bruner was this stud, and he ended up playing here for the Texans for a few years. This is an award named after Mark Bruner. I think it's basically like the best teammate award, like the Spirit of the Bull award. I was the first inaugural winner. But they renamed it. Not even a humble brag. That's a brag.
Straight brag.
And look, if you've got like a, hey, that's, if you got a Johnny Hustle type of award, well, you're like, yeah.
You won it?
Yeah, I got that. So, but they, Bruner won it like 3 years in a row. So they now call it the Mark Bruner Award. But this is, Mark Bruner, we used to play against him when he was with the Steelers, and the game plan was always, know where the hell Mark Bruner is, and we got to do something about Mark Bruner, because he'll ruin our day. He's gonna catch 20 catches a year, but he's gonna be like a lean, svelte offensive tackle in the run game. So you always had to know where Mark Bruner was and try to take care of him and not let him block you and be the key to the success. And this guy on film would, like, drive block guys 20 yards downfield, drive them off the screen, just look like a monster. So I thought that this dude must be like a beer swilling, crew cut, bashing bottles over people's heads in bar fights and everything. He comes to Houston, and the first time I meet him, it's like, you know, like, hey, Mark, I'm Seth. How you doing? Hey, buddy, how are you? Gosh, Seth, I got to tell you. Blah, 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 like compliment. The guy's like an Eagle Scout. He's like one of the best dudes on earth. One of the best guys on earth. But on film, is an absolute savage, was an absolute monster. Mark Bruner was an old school pain in the ass, like would block you all day long and then, you know, help you up afterwards. He was like Mark Bruner was the epitome of an old school football player.
Yeah. I mean, I remember watching him play when I was growing up, and I'm like, he seemed like the definition of like the classic blocking tight end.
Yeah.
Except as you mentioned, Seth, he was actually really, really good at it. So hopefully Darren Fells is that guy.
So, and then Owen Daniels came in and obviously, you know, took over almost immediately from Mark Bruner, and Mark was like the awesome mentor to Owen Daniels and helped him out. Never any jealousy or anything like that.
The Texans also interviewed former Bills tackle Jordan Mills, former Raiders quarterback A.J. McCarron yesterday, and guys, get this. I know this is going to float your boat. They're showing interest in free agent left tackle Donald Penn.
Good. That's what I want.
Huzzah!
That's the guy I want.
Interest.
The best short-term solution for what ails the offensive line.
Let me tell this to people out there as you're driving in your cars and somebody's going to tell you, look at his Pro Football Focus grades. He's been a very good offensive tackle for a long time. Last year, they moved him to right tackle as he was coming off of Lisfranc injury, and then he also hurt his groin. I've watched a little bit from last year, and I watched the first half of the Rams game, and Pro Football Focus had him graded at like a 50. I haven't gotten to the second half yet.
Yep.
I have no idea how that happened. Like, he looks fine to me. So I'll see when I finish watching the game. He was working his way through a couple of injuries last year. Before that, he'd been incredibly durable and very, very consistent year to year. He's a mammoth of a man. I watched him play the Texans a couple of years ago, and the officials basically let him get away with holding because he'll just grab people, hug them. His arms, I don't know how long his arms are, but he uses them really well. He'll just snatch guys and bear hug them right from the start. I already texted Whitney Merciless this morning telling him that I'm angry about watching the film because I saw him just like bear hugging Whitney Merciless and getting away with it. But the officials let him do it. And he moves pretty well. The problem is he's going to be 36 years old this year, and he's coming off of a groin injury.
But all we need is 1 year.
You need
one decent year at tackle. That's all I want.
And he was cut, so it helps you with the compensatory picks.
Yes, doesn't count against you for next year.
Yeah.
As would A.J. McCarron, who was yes. released. Speaking of guys who are released, Blake Bortles, the old boat. He is out of Jacksonville, and he is heading to the defending NFC champion Los Angeles Rams. No contract official yet, but he is going to sign on to be Jared Goff's backup.
I wanted the Texans to sign Blake Bortles, and I'm surprised that I got any harsh feedback whatsoever. And I feel even better about my opinion knowing that one of the best organizations right now in the NFL signed Blake Bortles to be their backup quarterback behind Jared Goff.
Could I change your opinion on Blake Bortles? Because mine was somewhat swayed last week.
You have some inside information?
No, it was more from just talking to ex-players Clint Sterner, the former quarterback who just cannot stand Bortles' game.
Okay.
And on top of that, talking to Cecil Shorts, who is one of the nicest guys ever. And Cecil's like,
Cecil played with Blake.
He's like, well, you know, Blake doesn't throw the most catchable ball. And it was like, it said it in a way that wasn't offensive at all. But I just remember hearing that. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about the whole passing side of things. But if you run Blake Bortles and the old.
That's what. Yeah.
You run him like he's Tebow.
Thing. He's the backup quarterback.
Exactly.
If you come in it for four games, can he all of a sudden become a. Just become a read option team and say, we'll sacrifice your body for the greater good, Blake Bortles. We'll throw the ball a little bit and we'll see what we got in you. I've heard people say, well, wow, look at what Sean McVay did for Jared Goff in just 1 year. Could he do that for Blake Bortles? I'd be very skeptical, but because what Jared Goff has that Blake Bortles does not is an arm. He's not accurate.
Yeah.
You know, he's like a poor man's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Because you know where Ryan Fitzpatrick will have games and stretches where you're like, oh my gosh, he's incredible. And then you realize, oh wow, he's taken a lot of chances that he's not accurate enough to take. So the next game he throws four interceptions.
Fitzpatrick is a guy who will catch fire. Bortles has never really caught fire.
As long as you're playing with a 14-point deficit, he's nails.
Yeah, he can play better. But like Fitzpatrick's a really weird quarterback, even historically in the NFL, in that he can genuinely catch fire for like a game or two, look like one of the better quarterbacks, then go back to what he actually is.
But where I'm trying to say that Blake Bortles is like Ryan Fitzpatrick is that there will be stretches where he looks good, but it's because he's getting away with his inaccuracy.
Fair enough.
Fitzpatrick gets away with his inaccuracy. He's making the right reads, but he throws that he shouldn't be making, and sometimes he gets away with it, sometimes he doesn't. Bortles isn't as smart as Fitzpatrick.
In the NBA, some interesting news atop the Western Conference as the Rockets get back in action tonight, 6:30, against rookie Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks. The Rockets are 3.5 games back of now two teams atop the Western Conference. The Denver Nuggets pulled even with the Golden State Warriors atop the conference after beating the Boston Celtics 114-105. Meanwhile, the Warriors ran into the Spurs, who are red hot and have won 9 in a row. They're now the 5 seed, tied with Oklahoma City. Actually, they had the tiebreaker over Oklahoma City to get that 5 seed in the Western Conference. They took down Golden State 111-105 last night. The Spurs, that's annoying.
It's I'm not as annoyed. It's interesting because it used to be you'd ignore the Spurs just because they were awesome and they were going along doing their own thing and nobody would talk about them even though they were one of the two best teams in the conference. Now they've actually been ignored when they shouldn't have been for normal reasons, right? Like now it's more that like, okay, wow, they might be formidable than we thought they were. It's like everything old is new again now with the Spurs.
Yes, with the 9 wins in a row.
Yeah.
So we've had a show debate.
You weren't listening to a thing I said. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking.
You got stats there you got to look at.
I have no stats. Yeah. I was thinking about a show debate that we had yesterday about this, about what we want the Rockets to do and the importance of health versus what seed they are and also how quickly they play Golden State. Because theoretically, if the Warriors drop to the 2 seed, then the Rockets can finish as the 3 seed and you would face them in a second round. And I kind of feel divided in that I want to make sure the Rockets face the Warriors because you have that lingering question from last year about what would have happened if they actually had Chris Paul for the last two games versus I do want home court, so I don't want them to drop too far.
Okay, but this is the thing. If you want home court, I guess it depends on what your goals are. Is your goal, Mike, to make it to the NBA championship game?
Of course.
Right, of course it is.
Yeah.
To do that, are you most likely going to have to go through Golden State at some point? Do you have any chance at having the home court advantage over Golden State?
No.
Not really. So if the biggest obstacle and the biggest challenge is to go through Golden State, and you're not going to have home court advantage anyway, if I think that their best chance is to play Golden State early in the playoffs when Chris Paul isn't worn down and doesn't potentially have a hamstring issue, then I'd rather face them in the second round than in the third round because I'm not going to have home court advantage anyway.
Yeah.
Valid point.
You have 12 games left. The Rockets 3.5 games back of both Golden State and Denver. Once again, there are only 3.5 games separating the 3-seed Rockets from the 8-seed Clippers. So it is a mess at the bottom of the Western Conference playoff bracket, and it will be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Tuesday at the top of the hour. We're going to try to figure out exactly what the Texans can do in the next week to make us feel better about free agency and where they are right now. In the last week, Bill Belichick was in Barbados. I don't know if he was there the whole time, but he was there at some point. And there were photos that were revealed online. And Belichick apparently is not in the best of shape.
Well, he's in okay shape. He's old. He's almost 70, isn't he?
Honestly, I mean, if he's almost 70, that's not bad, right? For around 70 years old?
Yeah, I don't think so. Actually, at first I was kind of like, well, you're confronted with it. You're like, well, I don't need to be seeing this. It's not anything that I've... But I thought it was a little out of bounds because it was him and his girlfriend, and it was like there was a spread of like 20 photos, and his girlfriend's like 55, 60 years old. Like, she didn't sign on for this. She's not, she's very, very...
I bet she likes it.
You think so?
I think she likes it a little bit.
I think she likes it, too.
I'll give her credit. She's wearing a Brazilian cut bikini at the age of 55 or 60, which is, that's a ballsy move there. But as far as Belichick goes, it's one thing to have one picture of people on the beach, but it was like a whole spread of like 20 photos in all the different, there's positions and poses on the beach where you're not going to look good. When you're sitting on a chaise lounge, like trying to hand something to somebody, where you're at like your max compression on the trunk there.
Yes.
Like, he's not going to look good there. I doubt Belichick cares what's out there, except it's not like he wants to have all these half naked pictures of him out on the internet.
I don't know. I mean, he might get a little ribbing from it in the locker room. I don't know, Seth, if you guys had Tom Coughlin walking around on the beach pictures.
Well, I lived next to Coughlin on the beach.
Really?
Yeah, and he'd pull the old shirt off and go for a jog. This guy's in incredible shape.
Did he look good?
Yeah, he looked good.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Syracuse man, that's why.
I don't know if I ever saw him shirtless. He might have been not even a tank top or not, but he looked good. He was very fit. The shirtless is a football coach. It's tough to pull off. I was a little disappointed because when I saw the headline, I half expected like a Putin type of performance. Like, I thought it was going to be, staged. Like, yeah, like I thought maybe he'd been on hormone replacement for a little while and was like going to be all shredded and riding a horse on the beach or something. Can we get a Photoshop of that, please?
I'm looking at this photo of Belichick right now. So he's shirtless, wearing trunks on the beach. He's a little overweight. And as Seth also pointed out...
He's 66!
Understood. Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean you have to be overweight.
Well, yeah, there's lots of 66-year-olds, if anything. If you're going to go any direction, go frail at 66.
Yes.
You know, be overly skinny. Those are the ones that live forever.
Belichick, he doesn't work out, clearly, based on this.
I was trying to figure that out. What did he play in college? Was he an offensive lineman?
I think he was a... Actually, didn't he play lacrosse? I thought he played lacrosse.
Not in college. He was in. He played football in college.
Okay, hang on a second. We're scrolling through on Wikipedia. It's not entertaining radio.
I was actually thinking to myself because when I saw this
center
story,
and tight end, he also played lacrosse and squash
in college.
Yes,
center and
he's
tight
a three
end.
Sport
he was
athlete,
the captain
kinda?
Of the lacrosse team his senior season.
I'm telling you guys, if you want a college scholarship, play lacrosse. The pool of athletes you're competing with is. Selective.
Yes.
Say that. It's not the same pool that you're competing with in football.
This is definitely true.
Yeah.
Yes. More opportunities. Not as many scholarships, though, in college.
No, but I think the ratio of scholarships to actual high school players is really high.
Honestly, I'm looking at this picture, and I retweeted it. Echelon says, at Seth C. Payne, at Mike Meltzer, at Sports Radio 610. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking to myself, this is not bad for age 66. And
that's what I'm telling you.
I hate my body at age 29.
Yeah.
This is a body that I know is actually pretty good for 66, but it's also a body that I know that I would not want to have.
As thick as he is, I thought he'd have more muscle tone. I thought he'd be stockier. I thought he'd kind of look like that old dude that you don't want to fight.
Yes.
You know, like 65-year-old guy that, like, he must have been in the Navy or something. He's got an anchor tattoo on his forearm.
He looks a little like Tony Soprano here.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. A little
Tony
bit,
Soprano body
sort of.
Type.
Yeah. You know, Tony Soprano goes down in the basement, does a little bit of a bench press, and he goes back upstairs and he eats some cannolis.
Soprano didn't have, I'd say that's an insult, calling that Belichick's got more, he's got more musculature than Tony Soprano. Tony Soprano was like big frame, skinny arms, skinny legs, no ass, and just a big belly. I get like he might not have been able to bench press 115.
So Belichick might have an ass, you're
Belichick,
saying.
I bet Belichick gets on the old Nautilus machine like once every 2 weeks.
So in honor of this story,
ew.
I don't know what's going on here.
Clear your throat.
In honor of this story, it's been going on for a week. I came up with my top three coaches that I would not want to see shirtless. This isn't any sport, okay? My top three coaches I would not want to see shirtless. Jim Boeheim, Rob Ryan, Andy Reid, for various reasons.
Oh, I bet Boeheim's in pretty good shape.
Boeheim, old. You don't want to see a guy like, you don't want to see like that. A guy that old.
What gym are you working
shirtless.
Out at? I see that like I see like 10 of those guys a day.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Well, but you're used to it.
You're just body shaming now.
I see like I sometimes in the gym I'm like, oh, is that Jim Boeheim? Oh no, that's just some guy from League City.
Rob Ryan.
Yeah.
Don't want to see him shirtless. That guy is carrying another human or two in his stomach.
Rob or Rex?
Rob.
Oh, okay.
Specifically Rob. Yeah. Yes, because Rob is gigantic. And I struggle with my last one because I was going through the NFL standings and I'm like, more coaches are in okay shape than I thought. Andy Reid is what I would not want to see.
That makes
shirtless.
Sense. But Andy Reid's big enough that it would look just kind of right. It would just be like, oh, that's a big fella. That's what I expected him to look like, kind of like a Homer Simpson body. My wife just texted because we used to live next to Tom Coughlin at the beach, and my wife remembers TC was shirtless and looked incredible. Exclamation point. What the hell? We're getting old enough. We're getting old enough now that my wife could conceivably date a 70-year-old. So, like, that's BS. We're going to have a talk about this when we get home.
I don't know how I feel about that one.
Yeah. No, he was in really good shape.
Because
Tom Coughlin and Dom Capers were probably the two fittest coaches I ever played with in terms of, like, overall conditioning. They lifted, they ran, all that.
Here are my two. First off, Sean McVay. Bleep off. Whoa, I'm a coach in my 30s and I have a supermodel girlfriend and I'm yoked. Bleep off, Sean McVay. Also, yep. Coach K. I bet Coach K is sneakily jacked because he made a deal with the devil so his hair is black for all eternity.
He's probably he's got like that ripped. He's got that sneaky Paul Ryan physique.
Yeah,
what the hell?
What's going on here?